Well, we're very pleased to welcome our brother Gordon to encourage us this morning. Gordon.
Well, good to be here again, albeit 2 weeks early. Well, that doesn't mean I can't come in 2 weeks, but who knows. Very interesting, really, because that Mark chapter 1 reading today is where I am, God willing, with the New Testament reading for the 6th of August, which Liz has just sent to me, but you could send it a bit earlier, maybe got some more notes together on that, but anyhow, it doesn't really matter what, it doesn't have to be on the reading for the day. And in fact, my thoughts for today are based on our readings for 2 weeks, which is Mark 15 and 16, and the chapters about the death of Jesus. And of course, there are many chapters in the Gospels about the death of Jesus, and we read those regularly. That's a pretty good subject, really, for exhortation. A miscarriage of justice, supremo in the terms of this world. A totally innocent man. Of course he was. He was the appointed, spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He opened not his mouth. What a collision of opposites. A paradox extraordinaire. He was innocence personified, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, because our healing resulted from his life of willing service, obedience, and sacrifice. I'm sure we have all felt at times, and probably many times, that we have been unjustly treated or totally misunderstood or judged wrongly. Yet I would suggest our cases, when compared to our Lord's, are trivial, nigh insignificant in comparison. Yet for us, at the time, or even now perhaps, we felt or still feel a great sense of mistreatment and or injustice. And when reflected back upon my experiences, and then considered against our Lord's, I feel it has helped me get over, at least to a degree, the hurt and the wrong that has been levelled my way. So I'm suggesting to us all today that this horrible and unjust trial that Jesus was subjected to can be a source of help in our individual faith journeys. And that is the particular focus that I aim remarks today briefly. What can we learn, and how can the example of Jesus help us today? Well, firstly, Jesus said very little when he could have said a lot, and even justifiably so, at least in the sense of correcting the facts. Human nature always wants to correct the facts. That's just the way we are made. And if an accusation is partly correct, human nature wants to present our spin. It reasons, I want to put forward, a justification for actions taken. both in my experience, that's personal and observational, I suggest, or I believe, it indicates a position of weakness. Reasons, excuses, justifications for actions taken are, or generally don't come from a position of strength. I try now not to do this with difficulty. The only justification I want to be engaged in is not from me, but to me, by Jesus, when in God's good grace, he might declare me to be right when I am so wrong. This leads me on to a very closely related point. How many words did Jesus utter in his trial or from the cross? I know Brother Ron gave a talk on from the cross, I think he said 37 words, but my point is not many at all. When I say gave a talk, he gave a series of talks, didn't he? Half a dozen on 37 words. The impact of Jesus from what he didn't say was much more powerful. Another seeming paradoxical situation. And when the expectation is a retort, and it doesn't come, then the unexpected occurs. Why? Well, the question, we have quite a few cases of this in Scripture. The question, and we have quite a few cases, I suggest, in our own experience in life. The questioner is left asking themselves, why aren't they defending themselves? And then if an unexpected action takes place, the questioner is further put off balance. Why are they doing this or that? Completely opposite to the norm of our Adamic natures. In the case of Jesus, it caused Pilate to wish that he wasn't involved in this trial. He could see Jesus was a totally innocent man. But he was involved, and thus he was implicated. It caused the centurion to exclaim, truly, this was a righteous man. What a commendation from a Gentile official. We surely would like people to conclude that we are trying to be good followers of Jesus. So witnessing for Jesus can be powerfully demonstrated by what we do, as well as by what we don't say. Now the God factor. Extraordinary, unexplainable, natural happenings. Why this day was not to be explained away as a coincidence. Pitch darkness for 3 hours at the most unlikely time of the day. It was felt. A massive earthquake. Graves opened. Believers resurrected. The temple curtain ripped in two from the top down. This was no ordinary day. This was no ordinary man. This day and this man changed the course of human history. Our calendars testify to that. Before Christ, after Christ. Our calendar pivots on the date of the death of Jesus. Our salvation, everyone's salvation, pivots on the death of Jesus. But more than his death, the scripture had declared the grave could not hold him. He rose again to declare that God was right. He came first as a suffering servant to effect salvation. He is coming again as God's appointed king to bestow salvation. So let us remember him again today for what he has done and for what he will do.